This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Sometimes the star of a show isn't an actor with top billing. In the case of the hit ABC sitcom Abbott Elementary, that star is William Stanford Davis, the St. Louis native who plays Mr. Johnson, the quick-witted custodian who's also a fount of knowledge and an occasional substitute teacher. His character is beloved for his one-liners, like in this scene from season 2, where the teachers are talking about how to handle two students who are fighting in school.
These kids should be able to get along, and I can get them there. Yes. Look, my mom and sister used to fight all the time, and I would mediate. I was both the crisis negotiator and the hostage. I was Jack Bauer and Jack Bauer. And now they're closer than ever.
Doesn't your sister live in Colorado?
Physically, but emotionally, she never left.
I don't know. Some people just hate each other, and that's fine.
That's right. I don't like Janine, and it's going great.
Well, I'm a pacifist. You mess with me, I'm gonna pass a fist across your face.
From his home in Los Angeles to his hometown in St. Louis, we're delighted to have none other than Stan Davis himself to talk about playing Mr. Johnson on Abbott Elementary and what's led him to that role and this place in his career. Stan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Stan, Abbott Elementary as a sitcom, I mean, how does that compare to other shows that you have done over the years?
Well, I kind of did a lot of episodic television, Ray Donovan, and shows of that nature. Abbott has been, it's been a blessing in a lot of ways, but the work that we do, it's a different timing, a different rhythm, because it's you're trying to get everything into 21, 22 minutes. And so it's a different rhythm, but it's really, it's just you as an actor, you have to really commit to what it is you're doing, no matter how insane it may be sometimes. But yeah, that's the biggest difference. It's just timing, mm-hmm. rhythm, but as actors, you just commit.
Right. Now, mm-hmm. as I understand, you weren't supposed to be on for just a few appearances at the most, and then it turned mm-hmm. into something bigger. When did you get the feeling that this is a role that you could play for quite some time?
Well, I went in as a guest star. And as a guest star, you're kind of like a guest in someone's home. Mm-hmm. You go in, you do your job, you just kind of stay out of the way. But they kept bringing this guy back. By season 7, Quinta Brunson told me that they were thinking, episode 7. Mm-hmm. Please God, season 7. Quinta Brunson told me that they were thinking of making me a series regular. And that just kind of changed everything. They loved the character. The audiences and fans loved the character. And they kind of felt like, we like this guy to be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. Be a part of the show.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the role adds to the cast? How does it make it fuller or maybe closer to what people actually experience?
Well, I think it's the reality. Every school, every public school, and every school has had custodians. And custodians, they're a little bit kind of off-center sometimes, but mm-hmm. they know everything that goes on in the school. Mm-hmm. They know all the business of the teachers and the students. They know who skipped school and who didn't. And I had a custodian like that in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
I grew up in the Ville area, and I went to Colt Brilliant. And then I transferred to Scullin School, which was in the Primrose area. But the custodians were like that. They knew everyone's business, and they were just as much a part of the school as the teachers were.
Mm-hmm. So do you channel those custodians from your own experience into the character that you play, Mr. Johnson, on Abbott Elementary?
Of course I do. I channel those guys, and I channel other people too. As an actor, I'm always searching for some truth. And sometimes I have to borrow truth from others. I Mr. Glover, who was a janitor at Colt Brilliant, was a really nice guy, but he knew everyone's business. He played football with the kids on the blacktop. Mm. But he, you know, if you didn't show up, he would say to you, "I saw that you weren't here yesterday." So he was just as important in my life as the teachers were when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
And some of Mr. Johnson's eccentricities I get from other people. I get from relatives, and I have relatives who've been conspiracy theorists, and you couldn't change their mind if you paid them. And Mr. Johnson's kind of like that.
Have people told you that you, as Mr. Johnson, remind them of folks from their past or from their life?
Oh, of course. I get that all the time. You're just like my uncle. I've said in other interviews that some of Mr. Johnson's traits I've taken from my grandmother. Mm-hmm. From one of my grandmothers, she was a conspiracy theorist. She didn't believe in the moon landing, and she was in everyone's business. And that's who Mr. Johnson is. He's eccentric, but he sticks to his guns. He believes what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed.
So, Stan, St. Louis is where you're born, where you grew up. How is it that St. Louis and its people prepared you to be a performer?
St. Louis is a place where I learned everything. But one of the things that I learned is if you get knocked down 9 times, you better get up 10 times. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way it is in this business. You're going to get a lot of no's, but you got to keep moving. You got to keep working on your craft. You got to keep going to auditions. You can't give up. And that's one of the things that I take from St. Louis that I value, that I learned there, to keep pushing, not to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I've spoken to young people, I've tried to share that with them. And I really, that's what I love about my hometown.
Mm-hmm. How often do you get back here, Stan?
Before my mom passed away, I was there a couple of times a year.
Mm.
Now I get there maybe once a year, depending on how busy I am. You know, even when we're not shooting the show, there's still things that we are doing that apply to the show. There are interviews and different events that we have to show up to kind of help, you know, elevate the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there as much as I can.
Yeah.
I love it there. Other than the humidity,
yes.
90% humidity in July, I love it there. I got a lot of friends there. I still have a lot of relatives there.
And speaking of friends, when you were growing up in the Ville, one of those mm-hmm. friends was St. Louis singer and performer Marsha Evans. You attended
yes.
Northwest High School together,
and
you performed with the band and singing group The Paramount Review in the late 1960s, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
we had a chance to talk with Marsha in December, and she recalled a skit that you all would perform.
One song was called Here Comes the Judge, and then there was another tune called The Judge Show Is Funky. And Stan played the part of the judge. So it was like a mini musical within our showcase. And oh my God, did he do a good job. Stan could sing and dance so well. And you could tell, one could tell that we were all stagehands, but one could tell that Stan had it in his heart. This is what he wanted to do. He gave that role of the judge 300% each time we performed it.
Oh my
God. And we would have so much fun together on stage.
Now, Marsha added that you were a real people person, Stan, and that you made a habit of studying people.
We would always crack, well, the guys were basically the ones cracking the jokes and that kind of thing. And they called it joning back in the day. And he had a gift for that. He had a great respect for comedy, and that took him a long way. Or he could turn very serious and give you an excellent drama part on a dime. You know, but like I keep going back to the fact that Stan was a people person, studied them, loved people, loved entertaining, was willing to do whatever it took to you know, make people laugh or make people happy or make them feel good while he was performing. And I think that comes through. That shines through in everything that he does.
So, Stan, hearing how Marcia describes you, you know, how she remembers you, what do you think?
First of all, that's so kind of her. We've been in touch online over the years. I haven't had a chance to see her perform, but she was so amazing. I saw her in high school sing at one of our Christmas shows in high school. She sang Sweet Little Jesus Boy. And I ran to the guy who was managing our band, and I said, man, you have got to see this young lady. She is incredible. And she's always been in Marcia. I love her. We you know, she's, I've known her now. Ooh, I hate to say how many years. I won't say how.
Okay.
But, you know, she was always very kind. But she was a consummate professional, even at that young age. And just a shining star. Oh, my God, she could sing unbelievably, you know, just unbelievably, incredibly well. She was just, oh, my God. To hear her voice, wow, it just took me back.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, really spoken. Yeah.
So, Stan, you have spent many years in the business, and right. One of the things about your character on Abbott Elementary, Mr. Johnson is very, very popular. You know, we said in the intro, sometimes the stars are not the ones with top billing. What has it meant to you, you know, to play this character at this point in your career?
Well, it was a testament to my tenacity and never giving up, first of all. But because this character brings so much joy to people, I've been in other countries, I've been in you know, other places where people have seen the show, and they've come up to me and tell me how much, first of all, how much joy the show brings to them. And then they'll tell me, they'll whisper it in case somebody's around that might be on the show. You know, you're my favorite character. My favorite character. And they've done that when other castmates have been around and said, you know, they're listening, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been incredible. It's changed my life in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. Not just because of the show itself, but the joy that it brings to people and things that I'm able to do to help and you know, be of service, I should say. And the show has made it easier and made me more accessible to those type of things. And I'm just enjoying every moment of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to the one-liners, and you mentioned conspiracy theories. Your character does share conspiracy theories. Mr. Right. Johnson is also known for dispensing advice to Abbott Elementary students and to the teachers, too. And in a scene from the season 3 finale, Mr. Johnson offers teacher Janine Teagues some wise words about life after a fuse blows out at an after-work party, and this is on the last day of the school year.
Mr. Johnson, how do you do it?
You just flip the fuse switch.
No, I mean, how do you just live your life doing whatever you want? Aren't you afraid things will go wrong?
Things will go wrong whether you're doing what you want or not. For me, regrets have always been harder to live with the consequences.
Yeah, but what if the consequences are really bad?
You kill someone?
What?
I won't rat.
No. I'm just mean, like, what if you could lose your job?
Who cares?
Really?
Jobs come and jobs go. I've quit, been fired, been replaced on the panel by Paul Abdul right before the show blew up. But I don't regret leaving them behind and living my life to the fullest.
But I love this job.
It'll be all right. Trust me.
Stan, did those lines, which were written for Mr. Johnson, do they resonate with you personally?
Yeah, they do. You know, when you prepare for something, you try to not only just use existing reality in the scene, but you try to bring your own personal reality to it. And Quint has been so good to me. And in that scene, I tried to use the three previous seasons to that moment of what the show had meant to me in that moment and talk to her as if I were talking to my own daughter. Mm. And that's how I prepared myself for it. Still with Mr. Johnson's bit of an edge, but I tried to really honor what had happened for me up until that moment, in that moment, you know, in terms of how the show has been and how it has changed my life. But particularly, you know, and as I said in other interviews, Mr. Johnson has been not only all over the world, but Mr. Johnson has been in love himself. He knows what love looks like. And you know, and he's real nosy. He's in everybody's business. So he sees everything, you know. But you know, I really tried to personalize that moment with Quinta. Mm-hmm. Or with Janine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've mentioned a changed life as a result of this role on Abbott Elementary a couple of times. And it's something you've said in many interviews. And you've also mentioned that it has changed your family's life. How is that the case, Stan?
Well, you know, I've been able to help in situations that when help has been needed, when I wasn't able to do that before, you know, before I might have needed the help, you know. And it's just, how do I say this in terms of, there's a bit of ease and comfort every day now, you know, and that just, we're talking about the fringe, you know, we're talking about stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but, and that's not important, but it is important to be able to be there if someone needs you. And that's what I've tried to do since I've always tried to do that, but I've been more accessible and more able to do that since this show has changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a New York Times.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that as well. There's a New York Times interview that was published just over the weekend. And in that piece, you talk about the story behind a large diamond brooch that you wore at the Screen Actors Guild Awards last February. And that story is about your grandmother, who you referred to earlier, Miss Josie Evans. And you've also said that your Mr. Johnson on Abbott Elementary is inspired by her. Stan, what do you think she would have to say about the place that she has had in your career and in your life?
First of all, she was my life. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. First of all, I think I can't even tell you how much pride she would have, and she would probably be on the phone every day calling her friends, telling them to look at her grandson. but there is some confusion because of the characters that Mr. Johnson's eccentricity, his belief in no moon landing and that type of thing, I got from my paternal grandmother, and so they were kind of the opposites, but they would both be beaming with pride and screaming to everybody they knew or know to look at what their grandson has done. Mm-hmm. But back to Mama Josie, she raised me. She made sure that I was safe every day. And I give thanks about her every day, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you go in for manifestation, but in the spirit of, you know, articulating aspirations, what is it that you hope to do in this phase of your career? And is there maybe something that you would like to do here in your hometown that is aligned with those goals?
Oh, there's several things. I'd love to work at the Loretta Hilton Theater. You know, I'd love to work with Black Rep in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's an opportunity to film an episode of Abbott in St. Louis since it takes place in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are things when I think of just me as an actor, those things I'd like to do. But I'm hoping that this character I was there a couple of years ago and I spoke. They had a cheering, they had a cheerleader session for the school year. That's the way I'll describe it. And I spoke to an auditorium full of kids and teachers. And I'd love to come back and do that again and give encouragement and maybe, you know, go around to the schools and talk to some of the kids, especially the inner city schools. Mm-hmm. If there are any left in the city schools and use this character to help, you know, change what's going on in the education system. Because I said this in an interview when I was in New York, that teachers and doctors should make the same money because they both save lives. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm hoping that through this show that I'm able to help, you know, in that process of making teachers not only be recognized, but get their fair share of what they deserve, you know?
And the last question here, what do you mm-hmm. think, Stan, Mr. Johnson would say to you about how to think about where you are right now?
He would say, what took you so long? I've been waiting on you. So I've been waiting on you. What took you so long?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and he would also say, I'm hoping he would say, man, that was a job well done, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you've had the opportunity to meet Mr. Johnson and that you've introduced everyone to him as you interpret him. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Give my best to everyone in St. Louis.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.